have been speaking for 2 months on marriage and related subjects in Goldsboro. I expect to continue here. Some of the things you might want to know and wonder why I leave out, I probably have already covered them. And so if you want to know what I've said and left out, you will have to contact them in Goldsboro, as I told them. If they want to know what I was going to tell them but didn't, they will have to contact you up here. And so let me read you in Deuteronomy chapter 24, a verse of scripture that tells us about the first year of marriage. Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. When a man taketh a new wife, he shall not go out in the host, neither shall he be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife whom he hath taken. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us bring to our consideration things that would never enter our mind. We're so thankful for this, our God. We would have some overblown thought about what was important in the lives of men. But let us tell us by these inspired scriptures the things that we would pass over that to you are important. And so for those insignificant things and then major things like this one we've read tonight, we pray that you shall instruct us. Let us know all the counsel of God and teach us this night by thy Spirit, his cleansing, his empowering, his preparing of hearts to receive the truth. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This portion starts out with a man who is just married. There's another scripture in Deuteronomy that speaks about a man that is engaged. You'll find the word espoused or betrothed. Engaged, and that man also is taken into consideration. But the difference is that in the other part of Deuteronomy, he is engaged, but not as yet married. But in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, the man has taken a new wife. There's some of us here who have been married so long that we can't remember when we had a new wife. But everybody, at one time in their life, when they get married, has a new wife. And the Lord is bringing the responsibilities of the husband in this respect to their attention. And so, all of us men who have been married for over a year are exempt from this scripture. But the rest of you who are anticipating marriage, and for you who have been married many years, it is our responsibility to know the principle contained here, even though we're not under law, and we are to impart it to young people who are about to get married. I had a couple in my house for 3 days, and they're intending to get married in March. And he brought her there for counseling. He wanted her to be there so that we could consider the Word of God, and that is fine. But if the older brethren do not know what God's Word says about marriage, how can they give any counsel on marriage? But the Bible speaks about responsibilities after you've been married a year, but it speaks of responsibilities that are ours the first year of marriage. And because of that, it means that any Israelite must have been instructed before a proposal and a marriage, because evidently, if he has been married for length of days and this scripture is brought to his attention, it's too late. And so it was the responsibility of the priests and the Levites and those who knew the Word of God to tell the young man what was expected of them when they were married. The same thing is said in Titus It says that the aged women or the older women are to teach the younger women. And so you older women and we older married men have a responsibility to teach the men and the women their responsibilities when they get married. And this is before. And the Lord Jesus did that. And our Savior, when he told of the responsibilities and the seriousness of marriage, then his disciples said, it is not expedient then for a man to be married. They saw the gravity, the seriousness of marriage. But the Lord says, yes, it's quite all right. If you find a wife, it says in Proverbs 18:22, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and God was he who brought a wife to man in the first place. He said it is not good for man to be alone. And because of that, the Lord said there are certain responsibilities that a man has to his wife, and I have already told the responsibilities of the woman to the husband, and so man, I'm sorry. You say, well, I wish you would tell my wife what she should do for me. You'll have to order the tapes from Goldsboro. I'm just going to tell you the responsibility that you have to your wife. And God specifies certain things that a man can expect in his wife. But the Bible also tells a woman certain things that she can expect from her husband. And I will just mention three. Even for a slave that is going to be married, God says that her food and raiment and duty of marriage shall not be diminished. And so before a person gets married, he must be in a position to give a woman food and raiment and also these responsibilities that are spoken of as the duties of marriage. And if a man is not prepared to do that, he cannot get married, because God says before you get married, you must be able to provide for your wife. If a man provide not for his wife, especially those of his own household, it says he's worse than an infidel, he is denied the faith. And so the people today that are rushing into marriage and have no means of support, I'm not speaking about those that have been instructed of God, but I mean those that have no job, they have no intention, they can live with father or mother. This is something that God does not condone in the Word of God. A man is to provide for his household. And so the Lord tells you that, first of all. But presupposing that a man says, well, I have a job now. I'm working as a tenant farmer for Ben Ezra, and he's provided a little house for us, and so I have food and raiment and shelter for my wife, and I love her, and I'm going to provide the duty of marriage for my wife. Then God says this, you have other responsibilities as well. He told you in the first place that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And so if you're going to get married, there are family ties that are broken. You leave father and mother. It is no longer you are listening to your parents, but you cleave unto your wife. And this reinforces it. You cleave unto your wife. And now, here is another C. It says, you are to cheer up your wife. Think of this now. It is something that might not enter the mind of the man that a woman's emotions are different from a man. But God knows that. There are those who are trying to make unisex today, to make no distinctions. God even here says a woman's feelings are different from a man's. And when a marriage takes place, it is the responsibility of the man to cheer up the wife whom he has taken. What does this mean? It means that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and the man is to cheer up the wife. So often we are placing the responsibilities upon them, but God has placed the responsibility upon us. And it says that a woman, when she gets married, may have emotional problems, and God has foreseen that, and the person who is to attend to them is the man himself. Let the wife train the children. Men are to train the children. Well, let someone else take care of my wife and her emotions. It says, you are to take care of your wife. And so if you are anticipating marriage, and you cannot give her food and raiment and duty of marriage, and if you are not prepared to assume the responsibilities of a wife that might be emotionally upset when she gets married, God says, you are not fit or prepared to get married. You have to be prepared for these things before you get married. And so, it says that we are to cheer up the wife of our youth. Now, who would ever think that a woman would need cheering up when she got married? And yet, think now, when you've been at weddings, you say it should be a happy moment, and yet you see the ladies with the handkerchiefs drying their eyes, and so there must be something of sorrow about it, and yet this is supposed to be the happiest moment, and yet there are tears. And so a man, some conceited man, might say, cheer up the wife. Why, she got me, didn't she? That should be enough to cheer her up for the rest of her life. But the Lord says, no, perhaps the very reason you have to cheer her up is because she did get you. Perhaps that is what he's talking about. But the Lord says that we are to anticipate that a wife will need emotional cheering up, and the responsibility falls upon the man. And so, here is what I found. That God has, first of all, in explaining the importance of marriage, says that it is one of the three essential things. I'm not going to enter into this now. I may give you a message someday about it. One of the three essential things that God says a man should be allowed to experience before he dies, and that is marriage. And because of that, the Lord gives man certain exemptions for 1 year. He doesn't have to go out in the host. That means he has military exemptions, and it says you cannot place any business or responsibilities upon him, any public services, and I take it for granted that this does not exempt him for working and providing for his household, but the responsibilities other than that. And so it means that while a man must provide food and raiment and shelter, at the same time, he, having done that, has only one other responsibility for the first year, and that is to cheer up his wife. And let me tell you, I never realized that, but I was married in 1950, and it was on September the 12th. Can all of you men remember your anniversary? I guess the wives hope you can. September the 12th, and I think I started school just 3 days later. And so when it happened, we were married, and at the University of Toronto, all the freshmen were supposed to go and stay in the dormitory that night. And I remember I told my wife, now tonight I'm to go and spend the night at the university. And she was upset about this because I was leaving her after I'd been with her 2 days, you see, and I couldn't understand why. But now, here is the very teaching of the Word of God, and some of you older men should have told me about it, that a woman is liable to think that you do not love me, education is more important than being with me, and so, as I recall, I said, all right, then I will come and stay with you, but they did expect me to stay on campus this night. But you see, women are liable to think certain things, and we men would never think of such things. And yet God says that we are to cheer up our wives, and for that reason, we are to be tender and sympathetic toward them, and not think that anything strange is happening when they react differently from us when we are first married. God says that is to be expected. All right. It says that we are to be exempt from military service, and exempt from public duty and anything else? You say, why, that's delightful. I don't know. You're exempt from all of these other things so that you can give your complete, undivided attention to your wife for one whole year. Now, how many of you men did that when you were married? I see. I may alienate you from the rest of your life from me, but I must ask that question. Well then, you have a debt with interest all these years owing to your wife. Do you understand that? And the wives will love me forever. But I'm bringing out this principle from the Word of God because it is enjoined here. Think now. The Lord says, cheer up your wife for a year. And this is something that Sandy Sutherland told me as a young man years ago. We were going to dine in Hinton, West Virginia. And he was talking to me, and he said, John, he said, let me pass on some advice to you. He said, what I want you to do is to give your wife every day 30 minutes of your undivided attention. I said, Sandy, I said, that's taken care of. That's elementary. I eat all three meals with her. He said, that doesn't count. I said, well, I take her to church with me. We spend an hour that way. She hears me preach. That doesn't count. And I mentioned ever so many other things. And he said, no. He said, 30 minutes a day of undivided attention for your wife. And I thought on it, and I said to myself, why, that's impossible. And if you think it isn't, how many of you men give your wives just 30 minutes of your undivided attention a day? Try it sometime. The Lord says concerning prayer, could you not watch with me 1 hour? How many of you watch 1 hour every day? You say, well, I can watch a TV for 2 hours. I can do this or that. Yes, try giving God 1 hour in prayer. And Sandy gave me that exhortation. And it seems simple. 30 minutes, it's so brief. And yet, you try to do that. But what he told me was ever so slight. Because here was something that I had been owing my wife in principle, carrying over the old into the new, because these things were written for our learning. And I am to give to my wife a year's attention to cheer her up. Now, let me tell you this. I didn't even read it to you because there's so much involved. But the first part of the chapter is the attempt of God to keep a marriage from rupturing and being dissolved. Now, this verse is to strengthen a marriage, and it must be worked on. Do you think that you just marry a woman and then all is going to be well? God says it is actively to be worked on by the man. And then it speaks about a woman loving your husband and being in subjection to the husband. And these things must be worked on. And God says that there be no divorces. I am insisting and commanding that a man take a year off from every other duty, and cheer up the wife, the new wife, whom he has taken. Now think of that, a year. And so, to show you how devoid you are of ideas, I want the brethren to give me any scriptural, I want scriptural way to cheer up your wife with the word joy or cheer from the Word of God. One. And so now, I know you haven't been doing it, because you don't know scripturally what to do. And I have the joy of going and looking over these words, because listen to them. When you get married, so many things of humor are spoken about it, but God doesn't. Marriage, this is the word, cheer up your wife. It is a time of cheer, and this word is the word Samach in the Hebrew, and it's translated of mirth and joy, to be glad, to rejoice, to cheer up. These are the things associated with marriage, and it's to begin at the very first. And God says, the man is to do it. And so I went and looked up all the occurrences of this word, and there are perhaps 200 of them. 200. So many that I was not even able to write them all down. I could not bring them to your attention. And so the only thing that I could do was this, to look at them and give you two categories. They fell into these two categories, things that brought gladness and joy and mirth and cheer to the hearts of men and women. And that's the way you do things, if Christians would only learn. Because I confess I would be devoid of ideas. How am I going to go about for a year thinking up ways to cheer up my wife? I make this confession. Every Christmas I dread it's coming around because I'm trying to think of one thing to get my wife to cheer her up at that time of the year. And yet I have to think for a year things to cheer up my wife day after day after day. Well, I went to the Word of God, and there's so many there, why, it's ever so easy. But let me tell you this. While I told you women that you would love me for bringing the responsibility to the attention of the man, I want you to understand that from all the 100 or 200 references of cheer and joy, that unless a woman was of a certain disposition, the man, even though he were expert, would be unable to cheer her up. Do you realize that? Because out of all of these ways, things that brought cheer and joy and mirth to the hearts of men and women, almost all of them were in the area of the sacred, religious areas. And suppose you've married an unsaved woman, and you read all of these things that are going to bring joy to a spiritual woman, a woman of God, and you go and try to cheer her up with these religious things, why, they would mean nothing to her. They would bore her. If you said to her, let us go and worship God, the scripture says, I was glad, the same word, glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And so one of the ways that you're going to cheer your wife is for her to know that you are a moral man. You are one who worships God, and you honor your Maker, and you say to her, we are going to church. But what if this woman is unsaved? Instead of cheering her up, why, you would be a drag. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unless you fulfill the injunction in 2 Corinthians 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and you marry an unsaved woman, it will be impossible for you to cheer up that woman. Unless you have diamonds and gifts and furs and automobiles and homes and gadgets, that's the only thing that you can do to cheer up a godless woman that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there is anything of substance to her, then the things that cheer you as a Christian who loves the Lord will cheer her. But if she's not saved, you will be helpless, because you look in the Word of God and see what cheers Christians and people of God, but this woman is not a Christian. And so the first thing to get started in a Christian marriage is you make sure that this woman loves the Savior that you do. She loves the Word of God. She loves worshiping God and fellowship with God, because these are some of the things. I told you that the ways to cheer up your wife are in the areas of religion, but at the same time, while sacred things are to cheer her up, there are the secular things as well. And God's Word spells them out so plainly. But remember this before I tell you these details, that even these secular things are in relation to the spiritual and sacred things. You say, why? Because food and drink are some of the things that bring joy to the hearts of men and women. But this eating and drinking is in relation to when the tithe takes place and when the Feast of Tabernacles takes place. They are to rejoice before the Lord 7 days. They are to enjoy all the good that God has given. And so here are people enjoying material things, but they are enjoying them because of the religious associations. They lift their heart to God, and they thank Him for all of these material things that they have given. You see why? You are hopelessly lost to cheer up your wife if you cannot have her cheered with religious associations. When you look at what God has given, as the leper looked and saw that he was cleansed and thanked God, and as in the book of Deuteronomy, the man comes with his basket of fruit, in the time of tithing, when he comes with abundance and gives to God, and he pours out his heart with thanksgiving to God, and God says, you be glad, you rejoice, you have anything to eat and drink you want, this is what I want you to do. But notice, that material secular thing is in relation to the religious, the sacred. And here is what we forget. And any material thing that we enjoy, if it contradicts the command of God or breaks anything that's set forth in the scripture, this is no joy. All right, I shall mention this just briefly, and you will have to fill in the details and you will understand why. It says this in Proverbs 5. That, and speaking of the secular, the material way in which wives and husbands ought to be cheered, it says that we are to rejoice with the wife of our youth. And I shall just quote the scripture. It says, as a loving hind and a pleasant roe, it says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. This is the word of God. Don't say one word to me about it. This is what God's word says. There are conjugal responsibilities, and the Lord says it in Proverbs 5, and he says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and these things are to be brought to the attention of man and woman, and this is part of it. And it says the same in Hebrews 13. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And the Lord puts this in plain language, that this is the responsibility of the man. And while they are religious things, still there is the food and the drink and there is friendship. It says that when Aaron saw his brother Moses, he would be glad, he would rejoice. You see, the meeting of friends. God doesn't want you to keep secluded for a whole year, but he wants you to have friends, and there are others that you can fellowship with. All of these things are to be brought to play to cheer up this wife the first year of the marriage. And so, in the area of the physical, I've told you about the conjugal responsibilities, about giving her good things to eat, good things to drink. You are to give her food and raiment. You are to fulfill your duty of marriage. All of these are things that you are to give your wife. And you wives should respond. You should rejoice and be glad that you have a husband that's paying attention to you. And if we fail so often, or we are inexpert, we are maladroit at this thing, but if we are trying, then say, my husband loves me, and he's seeking to bring joy to my heart. So many times we may be causing you a headache, but still we are trying, and so you appreciate these things. A man knows his responsibility, and he's seeking to cheer me up in my marriage. And so there are the physical areas, and so think of them. Go and look them up and see the areas in which you can cheer up your wife in a physical way. But then in the spiritual way, there are all of these religious areas in which we can cheer up our wives. To think, some of the joys of married life are the joys of fellowshipping with Christians, going to the house of God, or now gathering together to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the goodness that God has bestowed upon you. In all of these areas, if you have a fine Christian wife, you can tell her about these things, and this is what you are to do. And also, twice in the book of Proverbs, it speaks about what a word can do. A word can make glad the heart. Now, this might be hard for some of us. For us men to come with words that are going to make our wife's heart glad, to cheer them up. What can I say to her? Well, I read in books that we're to tell them that we love them. We take it for granted that they know it. But God's word says that we are to tell them that we love them, as well as the psychiatrist. And it says, let me hear thy voice. And twice in Proverbs it says, a word can make glad the heart. You say, well, what romantic words can I speak to my wife? You go and read the Song of Solomon. That's all you have to do. And you go and tell your wife those lovely things about her. And remember, before we apply it to the Lord Jesus and his church, remember, it was Solomon and his love that it's describing, first of all. Then we apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that he told her, the woman that he loved. And so you look at those words. But ladies, don't become suspicious if your husband comes with all of these elaborate words and tells you how beautiful you are and how much he loves you and your eyes are like this and the rest of you is like that. Just say, understand that he's trying to tell you that he loves you and he's trying to cheer you up. And so, brethren, it looks as if in principle we owe our wives a year's back wages of cheer and joy and mirth. And if you say, well, I call out the statute of limitations, you can't do that for this reason. It should never end, because it says we are to rejoice with the wife of our youth all the days of our life. I just mentioned the first year. And do not think, if you were one who fulfilled that first year, and as soon as the 365 days are over, you say, now it's your turn. That isn't what God means. It's just the beginning so that you could reinforce this marriage, and then you go on trying to make marriage a happy time with you. And then there are children. Children are a joy of the Lord. And it speaks about the joy that a wise son giveth the heart. And so, suppose a woman says that children are a burden, and she does not see that you are to give these children to the Lord, and they are to bring joy to your heart. Unless you are saved, you are outside of having any joy or rejoicing in the Lord. But it goes on for a year, and then it doesn't stop. It continues on and on. And so, what we men can do is to start now and take up where we should have begun. Perhaps we did not know. Perhaps we failed. But just as if a man owed me money for years and years and had never paid it, but suddenly came to me and said, I want to start paying you, I would not object. And I think that these wives, in like manner, if we have failed, if we come and say, my dear, I have not done this, but I am prepared to start, I do not think that they will object. And so, by the grace of God, let us remember that our responsibility is not only toward our children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but toward our wives as well. Let us work on having a happy, joyful marriage. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we men would confess before thee that we have reversed the role. And we have expected the woman to make us glad, to leave all for us, and yet thou dost say that we are to lead and cleave, that we are to do the cheering, that we are to bring up the children. Forgive us, Father, for any failures in our role as fathers, and let us understand that it's not too late, and let us try, and let wives be cooperative, and let them be appreciative. If a husband does say, I love you, and seeks to help, let her be appreciative. And let her respond in like manner. And so help us to be good husbands and wives. And let us, as the scripture says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth all the days of thy life. Let marriage be something that is of joy and an anticipation of that of Christ and his bride. Our Father, let us be men and women of God who are not only saved, but let us be men and women of God who are Christian couples, who love one another, who cheer one another, who support one another, who make life bearable because we have one another. Help us to be good husbands and wives. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.